If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read three verses, 7 through 9. You can read them down with me, please. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. And it says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart this morning for you, Lord. I praise you, thanking you for this opportunity that we have to be here in front of this crowd, Lord, this morning, in front of these people, Lord, in front of your people, Lord. We pray, Lord, that, Father, that you would have your right away in all this, Lord, and we will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen, and amen. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the analogy, especially concerning sporting events. It goes like this: on paper. Have you ever heard that? It said, this team is no match for another team, is what it says, on paper. On paper, here they should win easily. On paper, the better team should win. Yesterday, I know most of you followed WU. I didn't get a chance to watch it yesterday, but I read where WU, on paper, should have beat that team that they played bad yesterday, and they did beat them pretty bad yesterday. I've heard this saying for years. I don't know whether you have or not. I wrote it down years ago. As a matter of fact, I thought about it, you know, preaching on it a long time ago. But you know what? And it would make a good sermon. But as you know, thinking that I would remember it, but anybody that knows me lately knows that, you know what? If I don't write something down, it gets just blown away just like the wind. So it popped back in my mind the other day when I was thinking about this. And as I studied for the sermon, I take a lot of notes. And as God gave me thoughts, I wrote them down for this sermon this morning. So here's some thoughts on this morning on paper. You know, generally speaking, when you hear that a coach or sports broadcaster that's saying that, or saying that in a negative light, on paper the team should be beaten worse than what they are. But that goes to saying that the games are not played on paper. I've heard that all these years, that games are not played on paper. They are played on the field. And, you know, I believe in my heart, that brothers and sisters, listen, as it goes down to us as our Christian walk, I realize that there was only one perfect paper or in the battle. And that is, listen, there's only one undisputed world heavyweight champion of the world and of the universe. And no matter the opponent, whether it's on paper or on the field, he is still the winner. And he is still the one. As the Hensons used to sing this song years ago, it goes like, there's only two winning hands, and they were nailed to a cross. No matter the problem, no matter the situation, he is still champion. Hebrews 10:12 says this, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And 1 Peter 2:21 and 22 says this, "For even hereunto we are called before Christ, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And Hebrews 7:25 and 26 says this, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, who is harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." He not only looks good on paper, but can I tell you this, brother, sister? He backs up everything that he says. It doesn't matter. Jesus, the only Son of the only true and living God, walks the walk and talks the talk. You know, Rodney had mentioned something there earlier. And he was talking about grace. And you know what? The Bible tells us, you know, that we are all sinners that are worthy of death. But praise his holy name. You know what? If we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are worthy of death. And you know what? On paper, that looks bad. But praise his name. His Son died that you and I could have salvation. And I praise his name for that this morning. And he only wants the best. Jesus only wants the best for you and me. He wants you and I to be winners, not only on paper, but in life as well, in real life. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the Savior of this knowledge by us in every place." Did you get that? "Now thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ." We are more than conquerors this morning. Absolutely, we are. Tinking myself with what got me started on tinking myself, went to a prayer service Friday night. There were folks from all different denominations and all different beliefs there. There were folks who had gone through and are now going through circumstances in their lives that where if you looked at it, you could say, how would you consider them a winner? Because they are not letting, you know why? Because they're not letting the circumstances in their lives dictate to them whether they're winners or losers. That shouldn't dictate to us whether we're winners or losers. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're born again, you are a winner. You are absolutely, positively a winner no matter what you're going through in your life. Because on paper, it looks like the world would just destroy them. But guess what? A Christian's life should never be judged by what the world says about them. There was a young woman at this prayer meeting the other night. And it just testified that her husband, who had preached for 20 years, left her and divorced her because drugs had gotten a hold of his life. And in her words, she said, "You cannot believe the depths of sin that has sunk into his life." And if that wasn't enough, she goes on to say that, you know, she also lost her job as well. And on paper, it looks like the world had won. If you just stop right there, it looks like that this woman had been routed. That everything in her life had just been in shambles. She should be bitter. She should be blaming God. She should not want anything to do with the church. But guess what? She wasn't going to let that be the end. She wasn't going to let the world let it lay against her the end game, so to say. She said God gave her another job. And she was just praising God. And she said, guess what God had given her? Now she was in charge of other women who had been on drug abuse and abuse and stuff like that. She is in charge of them now. And you know what? As we listened to her talk, she said this, and this stuck with me as well. She said she didn't get the job because of all the academic titles and the degrees she had beside her name, because she didn't have any of that. She got the job because of life's experience upon her life. So that's how she got that job, because God had made a way. God had taken her steps and used them for good. You know what? They meant it for bad, but praise God, God meant it for good. In Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Brothers and sisters, especially those that are young out there this morning, listening to this sermon this morning, life is not always going to be down the middle. There are going to be times that on paper, it will look like the world is going to destroy you, going to rout you. You feel that there's no way that you could stand up to that. Don't put your hope or trust in this world system, because it is not your friend. John 16:33 tells us this. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may have peace. And in this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." These last few months, I'll tell you what, has put a lot of doubt and fear into folks' lives. I understand that. Church services have not been normal by any stretch of the imagination. It's not even normal here this morning to what we're used to here the last few Sunday mornings. And I know that. I've even let doubt creep into me as well. You can ask Tink, I have been back and forth and back and forth on what to do. And I can honestly say, there are times that on paper, it looks like the devil is winning. It honestly does. But God brings me back to these scriptures that I want to talk to you about here. It says in Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church. And he goes on to say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And can I say this morning that you, if you're a born-again Christian, you are the church. You are the church this morning. Romans 8, 31 and 39 came to mind. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights or depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a hope beyond all this. On paper right now, it may look bad for the home team, but can I tell you something right here this morning? God is great at making halftime adjustments. Amen. Praise his name. Christians, we will come out victorious. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 10, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And listen to verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We're not told specifically what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but was Paul to say, it says it never went away. It never went away, Paul said. It never went away. On paper, it did not look good for God. You know, there's so many in churches, there's so many that we know that are going through things time after time, and they struggle with things day after day. And we wonder, why God, why God? Why? We ask ourselves that. Why? We look at Paul, but Paul didn't whine. Paul didn't quit. He said, therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities. Why? In persecution and distress for Christ's sake. He goes on to say, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You ask your average run-of-the-mill paper Christian about that? And when they feel life's not treating them right, their response is a whole lot different than Paul's, is it not? And believe me, because I've heard it down through the years. And on paper, listen to me, Christians, we do win. You stack us up against the opponent, what Satan has to offer, what the world has to offer, he knows it is a losing cause. In Psalms 19, 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect. It says, converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word of God, it says, is complete. That's what perfect means. That means it does not need to have anything added or taken away from it. Whenever I tell you this morning that we are winners, it is absolutely the truth. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the Word of God is complete. I don't know about you, but there had not been anything made by man that has been this perfect from the beginning to the end of it. But on paper, the Bible that you read is complete and it is perfect. On paper, we do win. 1 John 5:4-5, it says, For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We win. 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We win. Amen. We win. Revelation 21:1-4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can I tell you, on paper, we win. We win. Praise his name this morning. You may not feel that way, but on paper, we do win. I love this verse of scripture. It says, Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let rather it be healed. Lift up our hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Brothers and sisters, we can lift our hands in praise. We can shout and praise him this morning, because praise God, I've got the book here in front of me, and on paper we do win. Yes, I understand the world seems upside down right now. I understand that. Church services being held in cars. Most of you can't even see a preacher this morning. Mask being worn. Just to go inside. Some churches are not even allowed to have services or hold services even in their parking lots. Some are even giving up on church altogether. Should this surprise us? No. Read with me 2 Thessalonians 2:1-3. And you've heard this scripture before, but it needs to be out there and in our minds and in our conscience. It says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together to him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I want to be clear. I want to be positive, and I want to be clear with you this morning as I can be. Brothers and sisters, listen, we are living in those days. I don't know how long it's going to be before we come back. It may be 100 years, but we are in the last day. We have been in the last days since Jesus went back to heaven. That we have been in those days. But no matter what, we still win. That's not to say that we won't lose a battle from time to time. But praise be to God, we win the war. We win it. True Christianity is undefeated. And I don't know about you, I never get tired of winning. Absolutely. I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy feet to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forevermore. That is what you can trust this morning. That is written down in His Word. That is on paper this morning. Praise His name. That is truth this morning. He keepeth us. Listen, on paper, they may say that you know, the sport analogy, we may have an advantage over the other team in certain areas, but not in all. I say without hesitation this morning, Christians, on paper, we have the advantage all the way around. There's no weakness in our team. Jeremiah 10:6 says this, "For as much as there's none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great. Thy name is great in might." Isaiah 40:25, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord of creators of the heavens, of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding." There's nothing that He doesn't understand about us. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. "Which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." And He goes on to say, "Who alone is immortal, who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to be honored and might forever." Amen. Brothers and sisters, I tell you what, we serve a mighty, awesome God, do we not? Praise His name. And on paper, He is the undefeated. On paper, He will never be defeated. On paper, we will be with Him one day to reign forever. Can I say this as well this morning? As I got to thinking about this and writing this stuff down, Christianity is a team sport. Yeah, I'm fully aware, and I'm personally responsible for my standing with God, and so are you. And I'm personally going to answer for my actions, my thoughts, and my deeds upon this planet, and so are you. But if you go back and read John's account, and I want you to read this along with the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you discover this. Jesus had to have assistance in carrying His cross to get it all the way there. If Jesus had help carrying His cross, then why do we continue to act like we don't need help when it's time to carry our crosses? Because we do need help. We don't need to carry these crosses by ourselves. Folks, all the time, and especially times like these now, pray for one another. I don't mean half-hearted prayers. I mean to fall on your knees and fall on your face before God, calling on behalf of your brothers and your sisters. In 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers and intercession, giving thanks, to be made for all men." Pray for all people. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact as you are doing." Help one another. Galatians 6:2, "Bear you one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ." Yes, Christians, we are a team. We are in this together. You are to encourage one another and lift one another up. You know what? When I played football and I played high school basketball, I learned something about being on a team. Just because someone messed up, we didn't continually rip them and put them down and harp on the mistakes that they made. Would you agree with me that the church needs more of that today? No matter how bad the game or the situation got, we didn't do that. Ephesians 4:16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplements, according to the effectual working in measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I was listening to a preacher preach this morning out of Huntington, West Virginia. And as he was preaching, he was talking about the two women that were arguing. Paul was talking to him, and Paul addressed him directly. And as the preacher went on, he's preaching, he said, you got in the church, he said, "It should be in unity. But even today, it's not." He said, "You got some that are masked crowd, some that are unmasked crowd, some that want this, some that want that." And he said that he goes on to say, and the point of it was, and unity is how we should be as a church. No matter what, unity should be there. Sports taught me you can overcome the opposition, even if they had more talent, by playing as a team. If two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there will I be in the midst of them. Listen, we are in this together. We are in this together, not just Drift Run Church, because we are a church that's in this together. I'm talking about every born-again Christian that is here this morning. We are in this together. On paper, we are going to win. If you match us up, we are going to win. If we hang on to Jesus' hand, if we read His word, if we pray and believe, we will be winners. And I thank God for that this morning. I hope and pray as they get a song here in a minute. I hope and pray this morning that this message had meant as much to you as it did to me as I was getting ready for it. I'll tell you, thank God this morning that we are on the winning team. Amen. Julie, get a song, please. If you have a need this morning, please come.